to the Sarah Carter Show. I am so grateful to be with you. It feels like forever. It's been a few weeks, and I am excited to be bringing you a huge show today. We have with us today Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio. He has been at the forefront of all the investigations into the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act abuse, the FBI's handling of President Trump's campaign and the Russia probe in 2016, what that means. You know, he has been outspoken about all these issues. And without congressional members like Congressman Jordan, Devin Nunes, who was the former chairman for the House Intelligence Committee, Mark Meadows, so many more that have been out there at the forefront of this, we would not have the information we have today and would have not been able to uncover the malfeasance at the FBI and everything else that happened. But that's for later on in the show. What I want to talk about now is something that I believe is so important because it is reflecting what is happening in our country today with the media. And the fact that the mainstream media, the institutions that we trust, the ones that I remember looking up to when I was a young kid and when I believed that this was the only thing, and really, it really was the only thing I ever really wanted to do was be a journalist. I remember looking up to the New York Times, reading the Washington Post, listening to the BBC when I was overseas. And, you know, even though, of course, everybody has their own biases, for the most part, they were doing their job. They were reporting and informing the American people. Now it appears that our media has become nothing more, unfortunately, than a weapon being used against our, you know, our politicians, those they oppose, mainly people on the right, mainly conservatives. This is so, it's so incredible. And those institutions that we trust, we've seen them over and over again slander. Look at what happened to Justice Kavanaugh again. Look at this story in the New York Times. All of their purposeful omissions in a story about Kavanaugh, you know, once again trying to slander this man and this nobleman who has been through so much and his family. And now we see it happening again with President Trump. Look, they want to impeach the president. This is the left. This is how they operate people. There is no doubt they don't have anything to impeach him on. They're fishing. They're trying. They're wasting your tax payer dollars. That's what they're doing. So the money that you spend, the money that you pay, every day that you make it work, that you put back into the government, you know what they're doing? Instead of doing their job, instead of taking care of issues like education, healthcare, veterans affairs, all of these issues that need to be investigated, foreign affairs issues, Afghanistan, so many, I can't even begin to count what they're focused on. This is Chairman Gerald Nadler, you know, with the House Judiciary Committee, and now Chairman Adam Schiff with the U.S. Intelligence Committee. They're looking into President Trump. That's all they're doing. It is driving them crazy. This is like insane. 3 years later, after all we've discovered, all they want to do is target Trump. I'm literally exhausted. I don't even know. You know, but I'm not going to give up the fight. That's what they want you to do. They want you to get exhausted. They want you to stop looking into things. They want you to give up the fight. So now the new thing is, and why I brought up the New York Times and the Washington Post and what's going on in media, is the new story in the Washington Post about this whistleblower, right? This story about the whistleblower complaint about President Trump so concerned because he overheard or she overheard the president on a phone call. Think about that. Spies amongst us. Inside the White House, as the president is doing his job, there are people working on taking information outside. These are people that are literally tasked, I believe, with spying on the president and attempting to destroy the president of the United States. They just don't let him do his job. Anytime he's on a phone call, remember all the leaks with his conversations that were regarding with the Mexican president were leaked in the beginning. Remember leaks coming out of everywhere, whether he talked to the Russians, when he talked to anybody, constantly transcribes were leaked. This time they went a little bit further. That it wasn't transcriptions. It wasn't just leaked to the Washington Post. Whoever did this actually reported the president to the inspector general out of fear that what the president promised, which we don't even know yet, we don't even know what happened, as, you know, a detriment to our national security. Believe me, people, when you hear me, I know this town. It is incestuous. These people are vicious. They are sharks. They hate this president. He is not perfect, but you've never seen this type of visceral behavior, this type of behavior with a president, any previous president. I've never seen it. And we know there were people spying on him inside the White House. We've seen information come out about that. And I think there still are people there. This president is being isolated. He is not even able to communicate. Now they're saying that this particular whistleblower complaint, and I want to play something really quick. Let's play Adam Schiff really quick so we can hear that. Let's hear it.
Given the inspector general said this is urgent, it can't wait, which is a profound concern that we have over what we have seen over the last year, which is a concerted strategy to run out the clock on any information getting to Congress. Here, where it's urgent, that is simply not an option.
Where it's urgent. When is anything ever urgent to Adam Schiff? Well, only impeachment, guys, because he doesn't care about the truth. Remember that. Adam Schiff is never once cared about getting the truth out. I think he absolutely believes in his own crazy mind, that what he is doing is the best thing. He really believes that President Trump is a threat. But remember, look at what he's done. He accuses the president of things that he's already done. Even when he was getting that phone call from those Russian DJs. Remember that, Jenny? That was really funny. Jenny Terry's in here with me. So anyways, they were calling him. They're playing a trick on him. They said they had naked pictures of Trump. We have naked pictures of President Trump. We are going to give to you. Oh, yeah. Give them to me. Who else? Hook you up with my assistant and she can get those pictures. Why the heck would Adam Schiff want naked pictures of President Trump? Whatever. I don't even want to waste my time with that guy. But I do want to talk, and I want to go back to Congressman Jim Jordan. He is really a hero. Between Congressman Jordan, Congressman Meadows, Nunes, and others, like I've said before, we would not have this information. And by the way, I don't want to forget Judicial Watch. They're amazing, and they're fighting for documents all the time. I've got Congressman Jordan in the House with us right now. I see him walking around outside, and I'm going to get him on with us right now. He is amazing. He is the congressman of the 4th District of Ohio. He is somebody I have a great deal of respect for, and I am so grateful that he is here with me today. I am so grateful for you today. I'm so glad you took some time out of your busy life. I know, to be with me, Congressman, here at our beautiful studio. We're here at Hillsdale College.
Very nice.
Kirby Center. Yes, it's great. And in Washington, D.C. And I want to start out with the, I think, what is the biggest news for the last week. And this is not just Horowitz, but it's the breaking story on the whistleblower, the inspector general that had reported apparently that the president had a conversation with a foreign leader that has not been totally clarified yet, although there is a hunch and quite a few people have been reporting that it might be with Ukraine, and that they were so concerned about a apparent promise that was made that they delivered that information to the inspector general, who is now investigating. Tell me your thoughts about that, because this, again, appears to be that there are people inside the White House spying on the president, and that this appears to be another targeted incident of going after President
Trump.
Well,
and what it certainly appears to be is the same old movie we see from the Democrats all the time. You know, they get all spun up. They say all kinds of things that the president supposedly did wrong. And then when the facts come out, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, Shazam! It wasn't quite that situation that they all describe. You know, for 2 years we heard from Democrats, as your audience well knows, about this coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia to influence the election. And Adam Schiff was saying we have more than circumstantial evidence to show, and on it goes. And then, wow, the evidence comes out, and there's nothing there, even though we spent 2 years on it, put the country through all this. So this looks like that kind of situation once again. Let's see what the facts say. But I know one thing, and I said this like we were on together last night on a TV show, and said this last night. How much you want to bet? Whatever the president said, whatever he said was in the best interest of the United States of America. How much you want to bet?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I've been hearing as well. So, and even the president himself has said, look, in his tweets to the American people, look, I know that these phone calls are being listened to. I know how many people can be on these calls. Why would I ever do something like this? So, but this is what I said too, and I've said this. It appears that they're trying to isolate the president. They, meaning those that are his enemies within this swampy Washington, D.C. mess. It's like a muddy mess. And I got to tell to the listeners out there, you guys can't imagine what happens here when you get targeted. People don't care. They will do anything to destroy your name, to slander you. We talked about Kavanaugh earlier. I did. And what happened with him. So now the president has been basically put in this position where he doesn't even know who to trust anymore. Can you talk about as a lawmaker?
Yeah.
When you all talk in the back rooms, what we don't hear, what do you say?
You are so right about what the folks in this town who want to come after you. I always say it this way. Think about this president. Every single Democrat in this town is out to get him. Everyone in the mainstream press is out to get him. And some Republicans are out to get him. But in spite of that, it's been an amazing almost 3 years now. In his first term, amazing success for the country, whether you're talking economic growth, where you're talking, you know, I put this list together last year during the campaign. I taxes cut, regulations reduced, economy growing at 3%, lowest unemployment in 50 years. Gorsuch
Even
and Kavanaugh.
For minorities.
Yes.
For minorities.
All across any segment of the population, all across our economy, it's been good. Wages are up. Gorsuch and Kavanaugh in the court. We're out of the Iran deal. The embassy's in, and now, in fact, in Jerusalem. Hostages are home from North Korea. We got a new NAFTA agreement that would pass like that if Pelosi would just put it on the floor, and a whole bunch of other things I can't remember. So this has been an amazing presidency, amazing leadership from the president in spite of everyone being against him. And you're right, when they come after you, I mean, I know what they tried to do to me last summer.
Right.
I mean, I talk about my best friend in Congress, Mark Meadows. Mark and I talk about the attacks we get. The president gets it 1,000 times worse, and he gets it every single minute of every single day. And yet he just keeps going forward for the American people. So again, that's why, back to the subject, that's why I look at this Adam Schiff out saying what he did. I don't know how many press conferences and events yesterday, and all the Democrats all spun up, and CNN saying all the things they're saying about this whistleblower and what's going on. Let's wait to see the facts. But every other time this has happened, the president has been proven right, and the mainstream press and the Democrats have been proven wrong. So let's see what the facts show.
That's exactly what I keep saying, the facts. We have to wait until we have more information. We don't even know what this was about. But the thing is, I don't think they really care. See, it's all about slinging the first bit of mud, right?
Yep.
Because that mud just sticks. It just sticks on a wall, and then you're on the defensive, having to scramble and clean it up yourself. It affects your whole family.
Oh, it's terrible.
Do you think the American people, though, because they've seen this before, this record is played before, do you think the American people are just, at this point, just so sick of it that they're not even paying attention to that anymore? They just want it. They care about the economy. They care about their church. They care about what they're going to feed their kids that night at the table, how they're going to make ends meet, and maybe a better future because of such a great economy?
Yeah, the American people are smart. The American people have common sense. And the mainstream press treats them as if they don't. Think about it. In 1 week's time, we started the week off. We've already forgot about this story. We've started the week off with the New York Times lies about Brett Kavanaugh.
Right.
So we start the week off with the mainstream press saying some crazy story where they left out pretty important facts in the story. And then we quickly move to, 4 or 5 days later, now the president is doing this and Adam Schiff is saying this and on about a whistle. It's like all within a matter of like 5 days. So this is just the nature of the mainstream left-wing press and the left in today's country. I think the American people see through it. I think they do.
Well, obviously, from the amount of people that show up at a presidential rally, you know, President Trump has done something I don't think I would ever have imagined any president doing. He's like a rock star. I mean, people are 20,000 people waiting outside to get in, packed houses, packed arenas, delivering a message. Is that a good sign to you for 2020?
Oh, the president's going to win. You can feel it. I think the president is looked at, sized up the Democrats, the potential Democrats he faces, and I think he knows deep down he's not overconfident. He's just confident that he can beat any one of them. You go to our state in Ohio, if the election were today in Ohio, I think the president would win going away. And our state's traditionally seen as one of those bellwether states. I think it's solidly behind the president now. I think the real battleground could potentially be Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, those other upper Midwest states. But I think he can win them all, just like he did before.
Well, and he's focusing on those battleground states, and he's focusing on blue states, which is really interesting. This is a game changer. He's in New Mexico. We're seeing, you know, CPAC head out to Reno, Nevada, to different places. It's because I think there's been this shift, and we see what's happening in California is unbelievable. Yeah. I'm there once every month, and I am stunned at the transformation of that state because of leftist policies that have really just destroyed the state, really destroyed it.
Yep, sure have.
What do you think is happening there? Do you I don't know. Can there be a shift? Could we see a win in New Mexico like we saw Pennsylvania shift?
No one thought Michigan. The president was going to win Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
Right.
And come as close as he did in Minnesota. So I think there's the potential this could be a landslide. Now, we got to do our work. We got to approach this election like it's going to be, you know, a dogfight, and it's going to be real close. But I think the president is well positioned to win this thing and win, because you look at what he's accomplished. I mean, just take this one. For probably our entire lifetimes, every presidential candidate in either party has run for president saying, whether Republican or Democrat, they run and they say, if you elect me, I will in fact put the embassy in Jerusalem. And then they get elected, Republican or Democrat, they get elected, and the swamp and D.C. give them all kinds of reasons why they shouldn't do what they said they were going to do and what they know they're supposed to do because they were elected on it. So they get elected and they make excuses and they don't do what they said. President Trump gets elected and he says, and he gets the same stuff. All the people in this town are telling him, oh, you can't do it. He's hearing from everyone. But he says, I told the American people I was going to do it. I'm going to do it. And guess what? It's been great. It's been fine. It's been...
They were threatening. Yes. They were saying, if you do it, you're going to set off a Palestinian firestorm. There's going to be war in the Middle East and you can't move. He said, and I agree with you. For once, this is what the American people are saying. Stop lying to us. Stop lying. Just tell us the truth. Are you going to do it or are you not going to do it? But don't tell me something so that I put in a vote for you and then you never show up. And Israel is an enormous ally for us.
Oh, yeah.
But if you think about the last years, previous years under President Obama, I mean, there was some real tension there for one of our closest allies. I mean,
certainly. The president has changed that relationship in an even more positive. It's always been strong between our countries. But this president is so beloved in the state of Israel because of what he's done, what he said about the Golan Heights, getting out of the Iran deal, and then, of course, putting the embassy in Jerusalem. This president does what he says. And that's what we have this group, the Freedom Caucus. And our whole focus is doing what we told the American people we were going to do. And I always say we make this job way too complicated. It's pretty darn simple. What'd you tell the voters you were going to do when they gave you the privilege to come serve them in the United States Congress? When you get here, just do that. Do what you told them you were going to do, what they elected you to do. And if you stay focused on that, I think we'll continue to be the greatest country ever and we'll get the right things done for the country.
Let's talk a little bit about the Freedom Caucus, because this is such an important group. You did so much to change things, to hold people accountable in Congress, and to continue to push the issues that were most important to Americans. First of all, we got a new chairman in the Freedom Caucus, right?
Yeah, Andy Biggs, good guy.
Yes, right.
Marcus Meadows has done an outstanding job.
He's incredible,
But Andy will pick right up where Mark has taken our group, and Andy will be a great chairman as well.
What are the most important issues right now in front of the Freedom Caucus? What are you going to be focused on in the upcoming 2020 elections? What do you want to get done?
Well, mostly it's stopping the Democrats, because unfortunately, as everyone knows, we're not in the majority in the House, so mostly it's stopping the Democrats and all the crazy things they want to do, like impeaching our president, like taking away people's Second Amendment liberties, taking away their firearms. The Democrats want to continue to spend like crazy. So we're trying to make sure we talk about that issue so that when the president does get a second term, and if the president wins big, I think we can win back the House, and then we can get back to beginning to control some of this crazy out of control spending here in D.C. So those are the issues we focus on. But I would step back and say this. A couple years ago, there were a handful of reporters in this town who were willing to dig into this whole false accusation against the president of the United States that he had coordinated with the Russians to impact the election. And you were one of those handful of reporters. And I appreciate what you did. On the other side, there were only a handful of members willing to dig in, ask the questions, do the kind of stuff we're supposed to do, the kind of oversight and digging in and getting the facts for the American people in the United States Congress. And most of those members of that handful were Freedom Caucus people, because
right.
we feel it's important that the American people get the truth. And we defend the guy who we knew was getting falsely accused, the guy the American people elected as president of the United States. We defend him and help get the truth out so that we can show the American people what the Democrats were saying, what the mainstream press was saying was a bunch of baloney.
That's right. This is so true. I mean, in the halls of Congress, where most Americans aren't every day, of course, you're busy with your own lives, you're taking your kids to school, doing things. I remember I would walk through those halls and I would say to myself, talking to the lawmakers, how they would stand up and fight. And it was the Freedom Caucus members that were doing this. The Freedom Caucus members that cared enough and said, you know what? I don't care what these news organizations are reporting. It's not the truth. We're going to get to the truth. And they did not give up the fight. This was Jim Jordan. This was Mark Meadows, day in and day out, working all day and then working all night to get the facts to you and to the American people. And I, you know, this is something that I think is so important for me. I know that you're looking ahead towards 2020. We, you know, for me, it's like, I don't want to see this division in America.
Oh, it's bad.
We have had so much division.
Yep.
So how do we heal? How do we share ideas again? Or has the left gone too far to the left? Has the right gone too far to the right? What's going on here where we can't meet in the middle?
No, it's unfortunate, because today's left is different than the left of yesterday. I say it this way. A good friend of mine is Dennis Kucinich, former member of Congress. And
yeah,
Dennis
he's a great
guy.
He's a
good man, and he is truly a friend. We had coffee in Cleveland Isle several months ago. And I talked with him on the phone a few weeks back. Dennis is hard left. He believes all that crazy liberal stuff. And he thinks I'm way too conservative, you know. So we're about as far apart as you can get, but we are friends. But Dennis is the true sense of how the true liberal. He's like, let's have the debate. You get your best hold. You take your best shot. You make your best argument. I'll do the same. And then let's see who wins. Who's most persuasive? Who carries the day? Who wins in a robust debate? Who actually wins the argument? It's about persuasion. Today's left is not like Dennis Kucinich. Today's left doesn't even want you to talk. They want to call you all kinds of names. They want to call our president all kinds of names. They say the president is this, this, and this, all false accusations against the president. Call him names and say, oh, by extension, if you support the president, you're guilty of being those same things. And therefore, you're not even allowed to talk. You're not even allowed to engage in the debate. That is completely different from where Dennis Kucinich is. So I you're right. We are way too polarized, way too divided in this country today. And that is not healthy for a nation, not healthy for a culture. But I don't know how to make it better, because where the left is, where they want to take our country. I mean, think about this. They want to take away private health insurance. They want to take away your border. They want to take away your guns. They want to take away your private drinking straws. They don't even want you to drink with a plastic straw. They want to take away your Supreme Court justice. They want to take away your president with this impeachment stuff. They are taking radical positions. So the only way to get things back where I think they need to be and make sure America remains the greatest country ever is we just got to win the debate. There is no compromising with today's hard left.
We just have to make it cool again to be American,
yes.
to be independent, to be individuals, to build businesses. And because I agree with you. And when I listen to what you're saying and I hear the people across this country, I think to myself, these are socialist ideas. What we're hearing being spouted, even with our Democratic presidential candidates at their debates, the possibilities are endless, but they all sound like socialists.
Yep. Yep.
They sound like socialists, and that would be a total shift in our country. Do you think that has something to do with our universities, our colleges?
Oh,
I mean,
course.
So many of our young people.
Of course. The attack on
why
the
were
first,
we asleep, the Congressman?
The attack on the First Amendment is...
Why were we asleep?
Yeah.
We send our kids to the universities
that
and colleges.
Your tax dollars pay for, by
That's
the way.
That's right. That's
we
right.
We had... So two things happened last summer in the last Congress that talk about the attack on the First Amendment. And the first one is we had some hearings in the Oversight Committee where we talked about, you know, safe spaces and free speech zones and triggering
safe
language
spaces.
And all this stuff. Yeah. So
you don't have a safe space in Congress.
Well, the safe space and free speech zone is the free speech zone is supposed to be America. It's called
I
the
know.
First Amendment. But I asked this professor near the end of this hearing, I asked this professor, I said, professor, on a college campus in a safe space, could I say this sentence? Donald Trump is president. And his he began his response by saying, "Well, Congressman, it depends." And I interrupted him. I said, "It's a fact. There's no it depends about it. He was elected November 8, 2016. He won the Electoral College. He lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. He is, in point of fact, president of the United States. There is no it depends about it." But that's where the crazy left will take us. The absurdity of it all, that's where they will take us. Second thing that happened, that's an attack on the First Amendment. You mentioned this earlier. When you stand out and fight, you get attacked from all people.
Right.
Last July of 2018, I got a call from a good friend of mine, Matt Gaetz, who's been a tremendous fighter as well for the,
getting the truth out there.
Yeah, and he is very funny. Matt called me up, and Matt's always like going 100 miles an hour. And he called me up, and all he said, I answered the phone, all he said is, "Jim, Twitter is shadow banning us." And my first response was, "What's shadow banning?" I didn't even know. You know, I'm older. Matt's younger. And so he explained it to me. Turned out he was right. Four members of Congress. You got 435 in the House, 100 in the Senate. 535 members of the United States Congress. Four were being shadow banned by Twitter. Gaetz, Meadows, Nunes, Jordan. Kind of interesting four they picked, right?
Right.
Jack Dorsey says, "Oh, this wasn't intentional." CEO of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, says it wasn't intentional. This was just a glitch in our algorithm. So I'm doing one of the shows, and this comes up, and I said, "Mr. Dorsey said it was just a glitch in his algorithm." I said, "What'd they put in the algorithm? The names Gaetz, Meadows, Nunes, Jordan." I mean, come on.
Well, they put Sarah Carter in that because I have been shadow banned now for Jenny, probably like 4 or 5 days now. We've noticed a dramatic, block on
right now
on my Twitter and my website. It goes across the social media. So they don't want us talking. Our First Amendment rights are under attack. And what's so weird is it's working in concert. We used to be scared of like Soviet Union style government, right? A communist socialist government that would control everything. It's private companies, public companies.
Yep.
Twitter is a publicly traded company.
Yep.
Who are they, honestly, really, to tell us what we can and can't say? And that's got to be frightening.
No, you got the attack on Americans' liberties and particularly their First Amendment free speech rights. It's coming from all directions. Still, the biggest threat is government. I mean, we saw it a few years ago with what the IRS did when they went after conservatives like you and I and the constituents I represent and conservative people all over the country. But nothing, and I thought that was the worst thing, but nothing has been as bad as what we all started to see a couple years ago and have been following and trying to uncover. And you've been doing great work, as I said.
But that's the
FBI tried to do to the president.
Well, let me ask you that before you go, because I know you're a busy man and I want to keep you all day, although I could talk to Congressman Jordan literally all day long. I mean, he is so smart and there's so much knowledge there and so much that's going on here in Washington that he's aware of. That's what I want to go to right now. What do you think is going to happen? We got Attorney General William Barr, right? He appointed John Durham of Connecticut, who is now investigating. That's been very hush-hush. There hasn't been a lot of leaks from there, but we do know that he's traveled to Europe. He's been interviewing a lot of people, and as well as FBI and CIA. And we have Horowitz's investigation, which is now being reviewed, the FISA report by Attorney General William Barr, as well as FBI Director Wray. So what do you think is going to happen? And do you believe, because I have so many people telling me, you know what, I'm exhausted at this. I think there's a two-tier justice system. I'll believe it when Barr charges someone. When someone's indicted, I'll believe it. What do you think? Do you believe it?
Yes, and I do. I think you're in this same category. I have a great deal of confidence in the Attorney General. I've been impressed with his the way he's handled himself, the professional manner he's handled himself. Mr. Horowitz is in that same category. We learned about Andy McCabe lying three times under oath from Michael Horowitz. We learned about the struck page text messages from Michael Horowitz. That's where this starts. So Michael Horowitz does good work and
deserves credit.
Yes,
very
he does.
Much.
In the end, let's hope people who did wrong are actually held accountable, because you're right. It's the number one question I get. People walk up to me and they'll just like, "When is someone going to jail?" And
exactly.
I like, look,
every
I can't
day.
Put anyone in jail. I'm in the legislative branch. I can't do that. But that's got to come from the executive branch. Our job is to uncover as much facts and truth as we can get to and make sure the American people understand it. It's Bill Barr's job to prosecute. We'll see how it shakes out. What I am concerned about right now is that the Democrat chairman in the House committees of jurisdiction, the Oversight Committee and the Judiciary Committee, Mr. Cummings and Mr. Nadler, I'm afraid they're not even going to have hearings. on Mr. Horowitz's. They didn't have hearings on the Comey report. Yeah, I'm afraid they're not even going to have hearings on the bigger report coming on the broader concerns about what happened at the FISA court.
Because so, as for our listeners, so you know, I mean, this is because obviously the Democrats control the committees now. And so no matter how hard the Republicans fight this and they beat their chests and shout to the rooftops, it's still the chairmen of those committees are the Democrats.
Yeah. So I hope they do. Let me just make one point out one thing here. Think about Jim Comey. Jim Comey is the guy who starts the Trump-Russia investigation July 2016. Jim Comey is the guy who allows Peter Strzok, the same guy who said, don't worry, Lisa, we'll stop Trump, allows Peter Strzok to run that investigation. Peter Strzok, who ran the Clinton investigation. Mr. Horowitz said, you shouldn't have let Peter Strzok anywhere near the leadership of that investigation after he ran the Clinton investigation. Jim Comey allowed it to happen. Jim Comey's the guy who allows the dossier to go to the secret court, the FISA court, and be used to go spy on a fellow American citizen who's working with the Trump campaign. And Jim Comey's the guy who leaks information to the New York Times to get the special counsel. And finally,
to get the special counsel on a situation that isn't even real.
Yes.
The entire narrative was based on lies.
Yes, and finally, Jim Comey is the guy who goes up to Trump Tower January 6, 2017, when it's President-elect Trump, 3 days after, you pointed this out the other night, 3 days after Chuck Schumer had said, if you mess with the intelligence community, they have 6 ways from Sunday getting back at you. The intelligence community goes up 3 days later to Trump Tower to brief—
almost like he knew something, people.
To brief President Trump on the dossier and give him the overall intelligence briefing that the President-elect has to get. And while they're there, they're trying to trap the president, set up the president, because Jim Comey leaves that meeting, walks out, and starts memorializing that conversation on a secure laptop, goes back and has a conversation with McCabe, Baker, Strzok, Page, Rybicki, all the key people who were the cabal at the top anyway. And he does all this while he's telling the president, you're not under investigation, Mr. President.
Folks, if that's not
that's
a series of evidence right there, then what is? And this is why I'm so concerned, because when the DOJ decided not to prosecute Comey on those charges of the memo leaks, I thought to myself, why aren't they looking at the scope of this?
Yep.
Why are they nitpicking on small little pieces of, okay, information that you could possibly charge? But what about the whole scope? The fact that what we have been reporting on for the last 2.5 years and what Congressman Jordan and all the others have uncovered appears to be a soft coup of a U.S. president in order to remove him from office or keep him from becoming president of the United States. And if that doesn't scare you, I don't know what could. And I'm going to give the last word to you. What are your hopes for 2020, both for the state of Ohio, for your great constituents? You know how much I love Ohio. No. I'm always there. And for our country.
No, look, let me thank you again. I meant it when I said there are literally a handful. You can count them. Less than 10 reporters who did real good journalism, good work on this whole Trump-Russia false accusation story. And you were just critical to making sure the American people got the facts. So thank you for that. Ohio's going to be fine. In a political sense, we're going to be for the president. It's going to be a good year for us. And our economy's doing great, thanks to President Trump. The last thing I'd say is this. Your last point, so important. Emmett Flood sent a letter to the Attorney General. Emmett Flood, the lawyer for the president, back when the Mueller report first came out. And he said near the end of that letter, we would all do well to remember, if they can do it to a president, imagine what they can do to you and I. And that's what's at stake here. That's why the work you have done over the last several years on this issue, it's about the foundational principles of this country. It's why I've been so focused on getting the truth out there, because if this can happen to a president of the United States, they can do anything to Sarah Carter, Jim Jordan, and more important, to the constituents I get the privilege of representing. That is scary. That is never supposed to happen in this country. That's why your work is so important.
And that's why your work is so important for the American people, Congressman. I could not have said it better myself. It was amazing. Thank you so much for being with me today. What Congressman Jordan said there at the end, you got to take that in and think about it. If you get a chance, just rewind it and listen to what he's saying. That's exactly why I spent the last 2.5 years, more actually, investigating this issue on President Trump, investigating what happened to the United States president, not because he was the president of the United States, but because armed federal agents that we entrust with our lives, those senior officials are supposed to be doing what's best for our country. They're not supposed to be playing political games. When you go to Quantico and you're an FBI agent, the first thing they tell you at Quantico is, and I know this because I've got a lot of friends in the FBI, is you leave your political beliefs outside the door. It's all about the facts. Remember, just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. That's not what happened here, folks. Their political bias came right in to our country and are threatening. They are threatening. Threatening. Our Constitution, our nation, the way we handle things. We have become so divided. Why? Why have we allowed this to happen? This is not President Trump's fault. And remember what Congressman Jordan said, because he's 100% right. This is about each and every one of us. If they can do this to a U.S. president, to a sitting president, what do you think they can do to you? What do you think can happen to you? Is there a two-tiered justice system? What are we? Who are we? What are we willing to stand up for? What are the fundamental issues, the fundamental beliefs in our nation that made our country so great, that made us willing to send our children, our husbands, our wives to war to fight for this great nation? Those sacrifices were not for nothing. Those sacrifices were to protect this country and protect the Constitution and our Bill of Rights and our nation from ever turning like any of those other countries that have proven themselves to be absolutely, absolutely based on false promises. They're corrupted and falling apart. All you have to do is look at what happened to the Soviet Union. Look at what happened in Venezuela. Look at what happened in Cuba, you know, in Vietnam, in all these countries, to realize how terrible those systems of governments are. Are we willing to give that up? Or are we going to stand up and fight for what's right? We should not be divided on this. You know, I want to talk a little bit about it because, you know, he mentioned Gerald Nadler. I've mentioned Gerald Nadler as well as Elijah Cummings and, you know, the chairman. And they are pushing for this impeachment. And, you know, they called Corey Lewandowski to testify. And I want you to hear this clip of, you know, Corey Lewandowski, who I know. Corey is being questioned here at the House Judiciary Committee. And could you go ahead and play that clip, David?
How many times has the president asked you to meet him in the White House?
The White House is directed to not disclose the substance of any discussion.
How many times did you meet with the president alone in the White House in 2017?
I don't know the answer to that.
How many times did he grab a hamburger
with the president?
How many
times did he direct you to deliver a message to a member of his cabinet?
The White House is directed to not disclose the substance of any discussions with the president.
Can you believe this? They are still trying to investigate the Mueller report. You guys, Robert Mueller's report, the former special counsel, found no evidence of conspiracy with Russia. There is no obstruction. By the way, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, the former Deputy Attorney General, who actually appointed the special counsel, signed off that there was no obstruction. Attorney General William Barr signed off that there was no obstruction. But this is what they are wasting your taxpayer dollars on. And I wanted to play that clip because Corey has been back and forth. He has done, I don't even know how many hours of interviews with these folks, with these Democrats. I don't know what they're looking for, but they're fishing for something. This is so disruptive to our nation, so disruptive to the administration, because they can't. I'm surprised how much they've done. I mean, we've gone over it in this podcast, how much this administration has done. But imagine how much more the president can do, how much more Congress can do. They represent us. If they weren't just focused on trying to remove President Donald Trump, because that's exactly what they're doing, people. That is exactly why Adam Schiff, Gerald Nadler, Elijah Cummings, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, all of these folks are just Maxine Waters. Wait, Maxine Waters, let's play a clip there. I've got a Maxine Waters clip. I don't even want to end this until we play that. That's crazy.
I don't respect this president. I don't trust this president. He's not working in the best interest of the American people. His motives and his actions are contemptible, and I will fight every day until he is impeached.
What? Seriously? I can't even believe what's coming out of Maxine Waters' mouth. The lowest unemployment rate for African Americans, Latin Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, all across the board, every American, lowest. It's amazing. Moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Israel, rebuilt our friendship with Israel after it was so badly damaged for 8 years. Not leading from behind, folks. That's ridiculous. Leading from the front, being a front runner, showing the world what it is to be proud of your country, to be proud of your people, to be proud of your industries, bringing back manufacturing jobs. Look, it's not an easy task. It will be hard, and the president will have a difficult time in some areas. But this president has done more, I know, when history looks back, than any other president in the first 3 years of office. Never seen anything like this. This is incredible. And considering what he is up against, I mean, I don't even know what to say. It's genius. It's genius. He must just ignore them and shut them out. Just shut out their voices and fight them. And you, as American people, you have the right to stand up and you have the right to fight for what you believe in too. And that's why we're here together, to tell you the truth, to bring you the stories. Thank you so much for being on the Sarah Carter podcast with me, for listening. And I want you to visit sarahacarter.com. That's Sarah. Don't forget the acarter.com, where you'll read all my latest stories and Jenny Tare's, because she is my partner in crime. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.